Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
I found a friend. I saw two footprints here in the sand. He walks beside me, and I'm in his hands. I must remember I if I surrender, he'll take me home. I am no angel, I'm just a man, but I'm forgiven, I'm in his hands.
Good everyone. This is the Looking Up program. It happens to be October. Can you believe it? October, Wednesday the 2nd here, and we are so glad that you are tuning in for today's live broadcast of this program. My name is Sharissa Tarosian, and I'm joined in studio by my wonderful co-host, Pastor Danny Malenkov. How are you, Pastor Danny?
I'm praising the Lord, my friend, and it's great to be back on the air.
Yes.
On this, did you say October?
We're in October.
You sure you didn't misspeak?
I had to check my dates here.
How did we get to October? Did we like skip about 3 or 4 months?
It feels like it.
Amazing. Yeah. So it's good to be back on the program. And, we've got a lot once again today. We say that every week. We've got like a replay of that each and every week. It's like rinse and repeat.
Yes.
We've got a lot. And it's literally, we've only been away for a week. Last time we were here was 1 week ago.
Wow. And look at what's happened in 1 week.
In 1 week. They say a week is a long time in politics. Well, what's happening in the world? It's phenomenal. You would think that, you know, we haven't been together for the last 3 months, maybe 6 months.
That's true. And last week we were catching up on a backlog of 3 weeks.
It's incredible.
And now we've just got 1 week and a couple of extras. But we're so glad that everybody has tuned in for today's broadcast, because the more and more that we see happening, the more and more I think the Bible needs to be studied and applied to our lives today, because what the Bible says is happening, and that means that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And that's why we've named this program the Looking Up Show. So we just want to welcome you all again and remind you that because it is a live broadcast, we would love to hear from you at some point. Our studio number is 0488-817-624. And you are welcome to text us any comments, questions, prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. And also, you want to keep this number handy, because with each program for Looking Up, we have a free giveaway. And today's free giveaway, I will tell you about a little bit later, but from what I can see here, it looks like it's a DVD. Yes, it is. It's a DVD called Reasons of the Heart. And it's a book, it's a DVD by David Asterik. And I'm just looking at the titles here. Science has made great strides, but in the most important questions about life, it has still left us clueless. Ain't that the truth? Mm. In this three-part DVD series, Pastor David Asherick seeks to do what science hasn't been able to do, and that is give us good answers to these questions. So there's three parts. Part one, how do we know God exists, and how can we believe in what we do not see? Part two, Pascal's Wager. That's a great one. And part three, what am I worth? What's the value of my life? You'll definitely want to be in the running for it. We only have 5 of these available today. So, Pastor Danny, if our listeners are just joining us, what will they have to look forward to in our organic broadcast today?
Looking forward to on the Looking Up Show today. Well, today we're going to be taking a look at, you know, what's making news headlines in connection with Bible prophecy, as we do each and every week. And there's just so much that's been taking place. I go to bed and the world looks like this. I wake up and we live in a very different world. That's basically how it's been these last number of weeks, months, probably since COVID came to town.
It's really hard to keep up with it all.
It is. So we're going to be taking a look at what's taking place in the Middle East right now.
Yes.
As missiles are being flown this way and that way. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much carnage going on there. How that connects with Bible prophecy. Mm. We're also going to be taking a look at what's going on in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. I think most folk would be familiar with this devastating hurricane, Helene, that has caused havoc and many deaths there in the United States of America, and how that connects with Bible prophecy. But there's something else that's very interesting that's taking place. Protest that could potentially be unprecedented in its severity.
Yes.
And how that connects with Bible prophecy.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say about that.
So we're going to be talking about that. Then if we've got some time, we're going to be taking a look at what's taking place here in Australia when it comes to legislation and how that's impacting religious freedoms and religious liberties.
Yep.
And how that's all playing into this this pendulum shift that we talk about, where we are heading in one direction and then, you know, the Bible says we're going to head in a very different direction. And so a lot of pieces are coming together, but they're coming together very, very quickly.
That is true.
And so the challenge really is for us to not get overwhelmed by these headlines, but instead to have our heads in the Word of God and to be looking up.
To be connected in prayer.
Absolutely, connected in prayer. Because as our show, as you rightly pointed out, it's called the Looking Up Show, because Jesus said, when you see all these things taking place, which we are, literally, right now, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. I'm on my way. It's almost midnight.
Mm.
So these are the things we're going to talk about. And if we do get to Israel in prophecy toward the end, we will delve into that. But, it's an organic show. We sort of fly by the seat of our pants, as they say, and we just take it as the Lord leads.
Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to it and really look forward to hearing from you, our listeners, as well. Reminder, too, that you can access all the past episodes of this broadcast and every program that happens on the Faith FM radio station. You simply go to faithfm.com.au, or you get the app, and all of the past episodes are uploaded as podcasts there, and so you can browse to your heart's content. We're going to listen to the Liberty Quartet bring to us a beautiful song, Peace Like a River, just now. And wow, do we need God's amazing peace. Be blessed.
The sun is sinking slowly in the west. I'm rocking on the front porch, counting all the ways I'm blessed. A summer wind is stirring through the dogwood trees. I close my eyes and thank the Lord for peace. I've got peace like a river, flowing free from the Father's throne. I've got joy, joy like a fountain. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Many fortunes have been lost to find. You don't need a nickel to enjoy some peace of mind. It passes understanding, it still confounds the wise. It comes to those who come just like a child. I've got peace like a river, flowing free from the Father's throne. I've got joy, joy like a fountain. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, flowing free from the Father's throne. I've got joy, joy like a fountain. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river in my soul.
That's the Liberty Quartet bringing to us Peace Like a River, and you are listening to the Looking Up broadcast here. It's live coming to you on Faith FM. Well, I mentioned before the break, but not the break, the song. The giveaway today is a beautiful DVD by David Asherick, Reasons of the Heart, answering questions, how do we know God exists? What are the odds in our favor as far as, you know, is there a God? If there isn't a God, you know, how does Pascal's wager help us to make sense of this question? And then the third question, what am I worth? What's the value of my life? This is an incredible DVD presentation by David Asherick, giving you Bible-based answers to these very important questions. You will want to be in the running today. Keep listening. We've got 5 copies available. And when we give you the code word, you can text it through to 0488-817-624. Well, Pastor Danny, I guess, where do we start? Hurricanes, well, debates, lockdown. Well,
what I might do is I might, before we get into that, I might just give a plug for a couple of Faith FM programs, and then we'll launch into our current events and Bible prophecy. Firstly, if you go to the Faith FM website, there's an events section there, and you're able to find out what the Faith FM programs are. I've got one beginning in a couple of weeks from tomorrow, on the 17th of October, a Globalism and New World Order series in Coffs Harbour.
Great.
So if any of our listeners are there in Coffs Harbour, I would love to meet you in person. That would be lovely. And all you need to do is go to the Faith FM website, and there's a dinner attached to the first meeting, which is the Thursday night of this Globalism seminar. So all the details are there on the Faith FM website. Just go to the events section there, and you'll be able to register for the dinner, and I look forward to meeting you. As well, October 5, which is, I think, this Saturday, Sharissa, would that be right?
Yes,
this Saturday?
Sounds about right.
We've got Robbie, one of our regular Faith FM crew, and he's going to be sharing in Launceston. in Tasmania. So if you're in Launceston or somewhere around the area, you might want to drop in and catch up with Robbie. So the details are on the website as well. Meriden, WA, October 12th. That's the following Saturday. Robbie will be there. And on the following Sunday, October 13th, East Narrumbeen. I think I pronounced that right. East Narrumbeen, WA. So Robbie will be there once again. So he's got a trip to, so he's gone from Tasmania to WA in the space of a week.
Wow.
Go, Robbie.
Busy guy.
Busy guy. And so they, all these details are on the website, Faith FM website. So if you're anywhere near those locations, do get in touch with, Robbie. He would love to see you and meet you in person. I'd love to catch up with you in Coffs Harbour for the Globalism and New World Order series. And, this is the third time I'll be sharing this, Charissa.
Wow.
And, you know, I shared it for the first time in Townsville, as you know, and that was a wonderful experience. I had to completely redo so much of it a month later because the world had completely changed.
Because
I'm dealing with current events and Bible prophecy.
Yes.
Especially in the area of, you know, globalizations and the New World Order and so forth. So I had to revamp it for the Seddon program last month. And guess what I'm going to have to do again in 2 weeks' time?
You got a lot of updates to do.
I got a lot of updates. It's like I'm almost putting a brand new series together. Yeah. It's just so much going on. And so anyway, just want to share that with you. And we are starting at Boolaroo Church tomorrow night a Secrets of Prophecy seminar. So if anyone lives near the Lake Macquarie area or further afield, that's fine. And you're interested in learning about Bible prophecy, I pastor the Boolaroo Seventh-day Adventist Church. And tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m., that's Thursday, October 3, 6:30 p.m., it's going to go every Thursday, once a week for the next 6 months or so, we've got a Secrets of Prophecy seminar. There's booklets, there's materials. We're going to open the Bible. We're going to discuss. We're going to share. And it's a fantastic seminar, and especially timely for such a time as this, Charissa.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if you're interested, please come along. So 6:30 at the Boolaroo Seventh Adventist Church starting tomorrow night. That's Thursday, October 3, and every Thursday night at 6:30 for who knows when.
Sounds good. We'll finish. Sounds good.
So that's about all I need to share. Oh, by the way, I heard that you had a special guest at your church on Sabbath.
Yes, we did. David Williams and Brenda Walsh.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm not familiar with David Williams.
David Williams is a music teacher from the Tweed Valley Adventist College.
Okay.
He was finishing a series we had called Resound, which is on music, God's Principles for Music. But he was just sharing the power of music and how even listening to classical music for patients in a hospital aids their recovery and improves it by so many percent. So it's wow. Amazing. Yeah. Not only increases your brain functionality if you're sitting a test, but it helps your body heal quicker. So Listen to good music, friends.
There you go.
It can affect you in great ways.
Did you guys live stream that by any chance?
I believe they can find it on the Hamilton Seventh-day Adventist Church YouTube channel.
Fantastic. And yes. You had Brenda Walsh. Now, I'm familiar with Brenda.
Walsh
she's a famous 3ABN.
That's right. She was there in the afternoon. She shared wonderful testimonies about answers to prayer, divine appointments, and just God's providence in her life, and encouraged us all to do two things. If we want to serve Jesus, three things. If we want to serve Jesus, we have to be willing. We have to be obedient, and she said we must serve him joyfully, be joyful. And if you want to be a servant of the Lord, that's what she said, and those things are very, very true.
She's always smiling, Brenda.
She is.
Every time you see her, she's just smiling. She's got a beautiful big smile, and that's what she does all the time.
That's right.
So that's wonderful. So, well, that's about all we've got as far as that is concerned. I do want to share a story with We'll get to the missiles. We'll get to the missiles. Okay. We'll get to the hurricane. We'll get to the, you know, to that picket line, that big, protest. I shouldn't say protest, but that union, that union.
Yeah,
stop. We'll get to all that. We'll get to all that, and we'll get to what's been happening at the United Nations with that, New World Order Summit of the Future. We'll get to that. But I do want to take a look at a couple of interesting stories here that are also prophetic in nature, that are really just telling us where we are in the stream of times. Now, as you know, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, that things would be very, very different just before Jesus comes compared to the way they have been for the last 50, 60, 100 or more years.
Yes.
So society's changing rapidly. We all know that.
Yes.
Very clearly. Now, I came across this very interesting story on the ABC just today. and it was entitled, so it caught my attention, so I read through it. It was entitled First Baby Delivered via Altruistic Surrogacy in Northwest Queensland.
Now, please explain.
Okay. I was going to ask you, do you?
Because we put all those missiles and everything on hold for this.
We did. Okay. So this is a situation whereby here in Australia, it's legal for an individual, for a woman, to carry the baby, not a baby that's in any way genetically connected with her. So, you know, she doesn't provide the egg, and certainly her partner or husband doesn't provide anything, you know, from his end. So she's carrying a baby for somebody else. So that's mm-hmm. what it means mm-hmm. to be a surrogate. Now, this altruistic surrogacy means that you're a surrogate and you are willing to be a surrogate without any payment involved. So you cannot say, I'll carry a baby for you if you give me $10,000, $100,000, $1 million.
Why would somebody do that?
Out of love, out of compassion, out of wanting to help someone have a baby.
Okay.
So that's the reason. Anyway, so this was the story, and it's the story.
That's very generous of this lady.
It is very generous of this lady. So now this is the story, and I'm just going to share it real brief. People can go online; they can check it out themselves. So. This woman, she had, her name is Rebecca Greaves, and she was willing to be a surrogate for her stepbrother, right? So her stepbrother couldn't have a child, and the reason being he was married to another male. Mm. Okay, so married to another male. So he's the father, her stepbrother, and Rebecca's sister was the one that provided the egg.
So the sister's relation to the father is the stepbrother of, is that?
So, yeah. So
that she's the step.
That she's the stepsister.
The stepsister.
Yeah, she's the stepsister of the father, the one that's carrying the baby.
That's so
However, cute. Rebecca's sister is the one that provided the egg.
Mm.
All right? So, this is how it worked, okay? And her name was Melissa.
Mm.
Melissa Denham. So, Melissa Denham provided the egg. The stepfather of Rebecca provided the sperm. And so, the incubation took place in Rebecca's womb, and there was also another father because her stepbrother is married to another man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matthew's married to another man. So, okay, very confusing to say the least.
I found the article.
You found the article. She's checking whether this is real or whether this is fake news.
I was just trying to get my head around it.
Now this is why I share this. Now, this little baby. All right, so this little baby now has two dads,
mm-hmm.
and think about. We're in school, and the teacher asks little Miley Cross, "Can you please tell all the other boys and girls in class, you know, who your biological parents are? How on earth is this child?"
They probably don't ask that question anymore because
they don't ask that question. Well, who are your parents or, you know, who are those? And obviously she's got two dads, so she can say, these are my parents. But it's so complicated and so confused and so convoluted. And so it's really, really challenging in this day and age. And, you know, all I just want to point out is that we're living in a time of confusion.
Mm.
We're living in a very serious time of confusion. And so people are free to do as they please.
Yes.
You know, there are laws in place that allow for these kind of scenarios. But I'm thinking of the children. I'm thinking of, you know, children that are growing up in very confused households. And today, you know, I've spoken to many and you probably have. And, you know, you ask them, oh, you know, tell us a little bit about your family. And it's very confusing. You know, there are half-brothers, there are step-brothers, there are, you know, this person, you know, that's my stepdad, or this one's, you know, it's very, very confusing for children. And so the home, the reason why I share this is because the home is the foundation for a society.
So true.
You know, we focus on.
And fathers and mothers
absolutely
provide essential things from different places, but it's how God made it, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you take a look at the Ten Commandments and you take a look at the first four, and the foundation for the first four, which is our relationship with God, is put God first. Mm. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. So put God first.
Yes.
Okay. The foundation for the next six commandments, which deal with our relationships with one another, with how society functions in an optimal way, is honor your mother and your father. So marriage and the family is the foundation for an optimal, healthy society.
Mm-hmm.
And so where is God today in the Western world? He's nowhere to be found, by and large. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
In the media.
Pushing him out.
We're pushing him out. We've kicked him out a long time ago.
Yes.
So there is no God number one in people's lives. And marriage and family as the absolute bedrock of a healthy and prosperous society, that is continually under attack. So when you have these two pillars that are under attack, you don't need missiles being fired to and fro in order to destroy this world. We will destroy this world from the inside out.
So true.
So this is very prophetic. And so I thought I'd just share that little, you know, people wouldn't pick that up. They'd be like, oh, yeah, that's interesting, or that's a little bit crazy, or that's a bit odd, or that's a bit whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't see the biblical, spiritual,
think about
prophetic
the
implications.
Ramifications.
Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And the days of Noah and the days of Lot were characterized by two key points. Number one, spiraling immorality.
Mm-hmm.
That was number one. Number two was violence.
That's right.
Okay. They're the two key things, and that's what we have going on right now. One leads to the other.
Wow.
All right. So,
I'm glad you shared that. That was very insightful.
Yeah, well, I thought, yeah, you know, it just came to me as I was reading that whole story, and you'll have to read it yourself, Charissa, because it was very hard for me to even kind of put it into language, and some of our listeners are probably a little bit confused.
Listen to this one. We've just had someone text in a comment in relation to what we've been talking about. Vernon says, it should be Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Very clear in the Bible. And couldn't agree with you more, Vernon. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah. And if we could just say this one final point. Thank you for that, Steve. This
is
the
Vernon.
Truth. Vernon, sorry. Vernon. My humble apologies. This is what I know, and this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Light for darkness and darkness for light. So the further and further away we go from what God's plans and ideals are for humanity, the more strife, stress,
right,
and sadness we cause for
the
ourselves.
The greater the mess becomes.
Exactly. The further away we go from God's holy law, the Ten Commandments, which are the bedrock for how a healthy and a happy society functions, the more problems we cause ourselves.
Mm.
And this is where we are. And sadly, that's just how it's going. All right. So we're at the United Nations, and the United Nations have wrapped up, and we've only got a few moments to go here. We talked about this Summit of the Future.
Yes.
The Summit of the Future. And I sent you a little YouTube. I'm not sure if you saw it, but there were a couple of Republican politicians in the US that were so concerned about this Summit of the Future. And they were saying, in no way should the United States sign up to this. This was only a few days out before the summit actually began. But obviously the United States did sign up, and all the other countries signed up along with the United Nations. Now, it's fascinating that I'm going to read this after this song, because there is a very interesting document how to deal with great and drastic unforeseen circumstances under this new system.
All right, let's listen to Wendell Kimbrough now. In You, Lord, I Take Refuge.
In You, Lord, I refuge take. Let me not be put to shame. Turn Your ear and quickly make safety for my trembling frame. You're a rock and fortress strong. I am lost and cannot see. For Your name's sake, lead me on. In Your hands, my soul is
evening. My eyes weak with sorrow grow, and my body fills with grief. All my years pass with a groan, my strength fails, my bones are weak. Those who see me turn to flee, my friend's eyes are filled with dread. Like a potter's broken dream, in their gaze a shade of death. But I trust you are my God, all my days are in your hands. Let your face upon me shine, make me in your love to stand. Great the steadfast love you store for the poor who refuge seek. In your presence, gracious Lord, in your dwelling they find peace. When I cried in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. Praise the Lord whose saving arm was my rescue and my light. Love the Lord, all you His saints, you who in Him refuge take.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Up, sorry, looks back. Worry looks around.
You are listening to the Looking Up program, and we're just talking about current events, and we were just talking about what's happening in terms of how families are changing in their dynamics and the effect that that is going to have on our society, but also how the Bible presents the best way for us to have healthy, happy lives.
Amen.
As well. Well, we will tell you the code word a little bit later, but again, a reminder, there are 5 DVDs by David Ashrick that are going to be our giveaway today. Reasons of the Heart, and he answers 3 great questions. What am I worth? Helps us to realize that whatever choice we make about belief or unbelief regarding God, we are in a sense betting our lives on our choice. So that's an important question to consider. And how do we know God exists? So you want to be listening for when we give away the code word for this wonderful giveaway. And the number, which you want to keep handy for any comments or questions and the giveaway later, is 0488-817-624. Well, Pastor Danny, we put the missiles on hold. Now we're going to the UN.
We're going to get to the missiles because all these things fall into place.
It's the only place they can be held.
Absolutely. So the United Nations had its General Assembly, its annual General Assembly last week. It wrapped up on Monday, our Monday, well, actually Tuesday, our Tuesday, which was yesterday, but then Monday there in New York. And the big takeaway was this pact for the future, this future generation pact that was signed by all 193 nations. Now, I just want to read to you a little bit of this, and then I'm going to share with you what in particular this was designed for. So firstly, this was the press release that came out. United Nations adopts groundbreaking pact for the future to transform global governance. Okay, and we've already talked about Revelation 17 speaks of global governance, Revelation 18 speaks of global governance, and so on and so forth. So we've already shared that in last week's message, the last week's broadcast. If you did not get that, go onto the app or the website and go into the podcast section there, and you want to listen to that to catch up on all this, because we spent a lot of time on that. I just want to read to you this first paragraph of this press release that was put out 23rd of September, so about a week ago. And this is what it says. World leaders yesterday, that would be the 22nd of September, adopted a pact for the future that includes a global digital compact and a declaration on future generations. This pact is the culmination of an inclusive, years-long process to adapt international cooperation to the realities of today and the challenges of tomorrow. The most wide-ranging international agreement in many years, covering entirely new areas as well as issues on which agreement has not been possible in decades, the pact aims, above all, to ensure that international institutions can deliver in the face of a world that has changed dramatically since they were created. And the reference is there in connection with the United Nations that was formed after World War II, so 1945. So we're looking at 80 years since that original pact was formed. It goes on. Now, the Secretary General makes this very interesting statement. He says, as the Secretary General has said, now notice these words from the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres. He says, we cannot create a future fit for our grandchildren with a system built by our grandparents.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this last week. It's amazing.
We did. So this United Nations pact that includes a digital compact, so getting everyone on this digital platform around the world, this pact for the future, this global digital compact, this in a declaration on future generations, this is something that will springboard, I believe, this new world order that has been planned and that the Bible talks about. This will springboard it in a way that we have not seen before.
That's a very big statement to make, but I can see exactly why you make it. I'm looking here at Antonio Guterres's, he made a comment on his social media account. And speaking of the adoption of the Pact for the Future, he said that now it is our common destiny to walk through it. And that demands not just agreement, but action. So, you know, this common our common future, a common door, our common destiny.
Common home. Yeah. It's all very
for common. For the common good.
For the common good. And the one who popularized this term, you know, the common good, our common home, our common cause, was none other than Pope Francis.
That's right.
Pope Francis, he's the one behind
that language. That's why climate change is an issue.
Exactly.
Because it's, you know, for the common good.
Exactly. And that's why his Fratelli Tutti, which is on living together in peace and harmony. Mm-hmm. Hello, do we need that? Absolutely we do. Yes. Absolutely we do. And the other one on the climate, Laudato Si, two encyclicals on that. And so this is all coming together. And it's interesting that you've got the president of the General Assembly, okay, so they choose a different president each and every year from a different nation. He noted this. He said the pact would lay the foundations for a sustainable, just, and peaceful global order for all peoples and nations. Hello! Anybody home?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Revelation tells us?
Yes.
Revelation 13:3. You and I don't need to read it in the Bible because we can quote it off by heart. It says, and all the world wondered and followed after the beast or the Roman papacy, which will lead the world in this new global world order system. So now they're coming out and they're saying it. And the very first section here deals with in the area of peace and security.
Mm-hmm.
When they say peace and safety.
Then sudden destruction.
Then sudden destruction. Okay. So we talked about a lot of this last time, so we won't continue to talk about it right now, because I want to sort of pivot to another important point in connection with this. People can go online and they can check all this out. And they say, as I pointed out, and to use their language, they say that this particular pact will now turbocharge, using the language of the UN, turbocharge those 17 sustainable development goals, which is part of this.
Is that for the 2030?
2030. Yeah, that's the 2015 to 2030 agenda. And we're like 5 years away from 2030.
Yes.
And so that would turbocharge. Now,
we just had a listener text in. Some Vernon says the New World Order is coming soon.
Coming very soon. Sooner than we think. Sooner than we think. Now, last year, there was a document that was put out, a bit of a brief, a bit of a draft in connection with this Global World Summit by the United Nations. And What's it called? It's called Our Common Agenda Policy Brief 2, Strengthening the International Response to Complex Global Shocks, an Emergency Platform. That was from March 2023. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, it's a big document. There's, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 odd pages part of it. I can't remember as I zipped through it. But as I zipped through it, one item really caught my attention. And that was these global shocks. These global shocks that would actually accelerate, or that would bring into fruition, this new global order that has now been voted through at the United Nations. Do you want to check out what some of those global shocks might be?
Yes.
Here they are. Complex global shocks. This is straight out of that document. Major climactic event or events. Cyber global digital connectivity and disruption. So the internet goes down, potentially. And what a shock that would be. Here's another one. Future pandemic risks. Okay, that's another possible complex global shock. Here's another one. A major event in outer space. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Major event in outer space. Here's another one that they come up with. Event involving biological agents. This is biological warfare.
Yeah.
This is like on a different level. At least those missiles, you can see them.
That's right.
Biological warfare, you may not necessarily be able to see it. You'll feel it and it could be all over. Very dangerous. Disruption to global flows of goods or people. Disruption to global flow of goods. We're going to look at a story from America that's on this very point. And then the final one, the number 7, unforeseen black swan events.
Yes.
You know what a black swan event is?
Something that you're not expecting.
Exactly. So an event that just comes out of the blue that you're not expecting. In America, in October, just before the elections in November, they refer to the October surprise. You know, what will take place in the month before the election?
We're 35 days away, by the way.
Exactly. November 5.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see all these things taking place
right now. Very, very interesting. Well, that document, the very first line of it kind of summarizes the whole intent of it. It says the challenges that we face can be addressed only through stronger international cooperation.
You've got to come together. Exactly. Global governance. Mm-hmm. Global governance. So this is straight out of scripture. All right. Now, what is also fascinating, my friend, is that September 21,
right,
a few days ago, was the International Day of Peace. Did you realize that? The United Nations International Day of Peace. It's the 25th anniversary. And this year's theme, it's all peace. Peace and safety. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Like labor pains.
Yes.
That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. So the Bible says that in the end, there will be the cry. It says, when they cry out for peace and safety. So that means the world will be in a real mess, to put it mildly, in a real mess. So International Day of Peace and Safety, International Day of Peace, September 21, the theme was cultivating a culture of peace. And it says that this year marks the 25th anniversary of the United Nations adoption of the Declaration and Program of Action on a Culture of Peace, developing a culture of peace. And peace is a good thing, Charissa.
Absolutely.
Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
That's right.
But unfortunately, the Bible tells us that there will be a false peace rolled out that will have religious implications, whereby there will be religious persecution attached to this peace and safety movement at the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's also interesting, where are we here? Let me go here. We've got Pope Francis, if I remember correctly. Yes, Pope Francis, he issued a very interesting statement on this very day, September 21. Well, it came out just before.
Okay.
And so we've got this International Day of Peace from the United Nations, but on the very same day, September 21, there is the International Day of Prayer for Peace. This is a religious movement.
Yes.
The first one is a political movement headed by the United Nations. This one is a religious movement. All right. So let me share with you a little of what Pope Francis has shared. And once again, he will be leading the charge when it comes to peace and safety. And we've looked at that in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25. The International, let me just read to you a little bit here. This is what he basically had to say. And I've kind of summarized some of this. The International Day of Peace and the International Day of Prayer for Peace are two deeply interconnected movements, both aimed at fostering global harmony and unity. That's basically what these two events are. So the United Nations International Day of Peace, which emphasizes peace building through secular, diplomatic, and humanitarian efforts, while religious communities lead the International Day of Peace with prayer, encouraging people of faith to unite in spiritual reflection and prayer for peace. Okay, so these two coincide on September 21. Now, this is what the Vatican's press office published on September 17 in preparation for this Day of Peace. So I'll just read to you a little bit here. This was from Pope Francis. He said, "Distinguished representatives of the churches and Christian communities and of the world's great religions, men and women of goodwill who are taking part in this meeting," speaking of this peace meeting, "today, even more than in the past, great responsibility for peace has been placed up in your hands. This demands on our part wisdom, boldness, generosity, and determination. God has placed also in our hands his dream for the world, fraternity between all peoples." So he's using the language of his encyclical.
Mm.
Then he goes on. He says, "In my encyclicals, Laudato Si, on the environment, and Fratelli Tutti, on living in peace together," he says, "I imagined a future for this world of ours, a single home, our planet, and a single family, that of all peoples. God has entrusted all of us with the responsibility to encourage and lead the members of our human family to live together in fraternity and peace." And then he goes on and he talks about all this. So can you see Pope Francis is saying, as world religions, we all need to come together. And you remember,
yes,
not so long ago in Singapore at that Catholic university, a Catholic high school, he shared that all religions lead to salvation.
That's right.
All religions lead to the same place.
Well, it's not what the Bible says.
But, no, it's not.
We have to continue these thoughts after we listen to this song by Table 19, "The Old Rugged Cross," featuring David Dunn. Enjoy.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. You've restored me, O God. You've restored me, O God. By the power of your name, you have saved what was lost. You have given me hope. You have given me hope. By the blood that you shed on that old rugged cross. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For was on that old cross,
Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. You've restored me, oh God. You've restored me, oh God. By the power of your name, you have saved what was lost. You have given me hope. You have given me hope. By the blood that you shed on that old rugged cross. To that old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. By the power of your name, you have saved what was lost. You have given me hope. You have given me hope. By the blood that you shed on that old rugged cross, you've restored me, oh God. You've restored me, oh God. By the power of your name, you have saved what was lost. You have given me hope. You have given me hope. By the blood that you shed on that old rugged cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I'll cherish the old rugged cross.
Beautiful, timeless classic there, Table, brought to us by Table 19, The Old Rugged Cross. And you are listening to the Looking Up program. This is live today. And we want to let you know the code word now. I think we should tell everyone.
I think we should.
Word.
I think we should, yes.
Yes. So we have, as I've been saying, this amazing DVD by Doug Batchelor called Reasons.
No, by David Asherick.
Sorry. Different D word. David Asherick, not Doug Batchelor. Thank you for that.
Doug Batchelor is doing a great series at
he
the moment.
He is. And just let's pause and say something about that.
Prophecy of Odyssey.
Prophecy
it?
Odyssey in Prophecy New York Odyssey. City, making the most of AI technology, where for the first time he's preaching and his sermons are being simultaneously translated via the technology of AI that it provides, takes his words and, you know, proclaims the same message in 16 plus different languages
wow.
around the world. Like, years past, we had to have translators for Mandarin, Hindi, Italian, Spanish, but now it's all just done by AI. Isn't that amazing?
This is the greatest evidence that Jesus is coming soon. This is Matthew 24:14.
That's right.
The gospel going to the whole world.
Yes.
In a mighty and powerful way. Well, imagine we could do that for our Faith FM show.
Yes, in fact.
That it could be translated to all the different languages out there. Surely.
Well, I'm sure it's possible.
It is possible.
And actually, on that note, if you're interested in finding out what I've just talked about and listening to it for yourself, just go onto YouTube or type into Google Prophecy Odyssey Doug Batchelor and it will come up and you will be amazed. They've got cutting edge technology happening. I don't know if you got to have a look at it.
I've only seen one, but I need to catch up on a few.
I've seen a couple. I haven't watched them more fully through, but they're doing some amazing things with the graphics. Like they brought up a statue of Daniel chapter 2 and somehow made it appear on the stage next to Doug Batchelor. Like a hologram. I've never seen that before. And then the Ten Commandments.
It's the end.
Yeah. It's like, it's really beautiful to watch. So
like a Mount Sinai on fire.
Yes. Well, they put the Ten Commandments next to him.
What?
Yeah.
And he's pointing to them.
Well, yeah, he knows it's there. They've obviously set it up, but it's just amazing how they did it.
Imagine we had programs like that here in Australia that we could pull off.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Well, it's coming. I'm sure it's coming. So anyway, back to the DVD by David Asherick, Reasons of the Heart. The code word, if you want to obtain one of the 5 copies we have available for this, is
LU24HEART.
There you go.
LU24HEART.
Text that through to 0488-817-624. And if you're one of the first five people to do so, then this powerful DVD trilogy is coming to you.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus is coming as well. let me finish off reading this, and then we're going to take a look at what's happening in Australia on the front of peace and safety.
All right.
I came across an interesting website. Incredible.
Right.
Anyway.
We still haven't got to the
hurricane.
No.
We're getting there. We're getting to the missiles and the hurricane and that protest. Not a protest, it's the docks.
Yes, the labor union strikes.
The dock worker strike. Yes, the labor union
45, strike. 45,000 people went on strike.
Wow, have mercy. So this is what Pope Francis talked about in connection with that day of peace, a religious peace in the world. He says, as men and women of different cultures and religious beliefs, you have experienced, so speaking to the religious leaders of the world.
Yeah.
He's saying, you have experienced the power and beauty of universal fraternity. This is the vision our world needs today. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to persevere in your efforts to be artisans of peace. Don't you love that?
Yes.
Artisans of peace. And then he finishes off with some of the language that you have already been talking about. Notice these final words. We need to keep meeting to weave bonds of fraternity and to allow ourselves to be guided by the divine inspiration present in every faith. In how many faiths?
Every faith.
In order to join in imagining peace among all peoples, we need such occasions to speak with one another and to act together for the common good and the promotion of the poor. So there you go.
Just a little heads up. We've got listeners sending in the code word, and we're having a little glitch in our system. So just stay tuned. We'll tell you when you can submit again. I'm so sorry about this.
Yep. Okay. So now I went and I did a bit of Googling, and as I was, and I discovered we've got an institution called Religions for Peace Australia. Did you know that?
No,
For Peace Australia. And they've got a website there, and they focus on, you know, religions coming together in Australia for the sake of peace, which is a great thing. And we talk about that all the time, and that really is, but we sadly know where this train is going to be heading. So this was one interesting headline. This is from October 1, so from yesterday, Climate Action Week. Multi-faith communities are calling on Australia's major political parties to commit to divesting from coal and gas as community members gather for a week of climate action.
Okay.
Can you see that? The religious communities are being encouraged to join together with the political parties in connection with climate. Church and state coming together. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Then there was this other interesting, and I didn't even know about this until literally right now. I'm just looking at the website right now. It's kind of refreshed from when I looked at it the other day. This was the headline, side event at UN General Assembly tackles faith, ethics, and AI. So they had this hybrid event at the United Nations on the 25th of September that was looking at understanding, how AI can interconnect with religious communities, civil society, policy makers with ethical dimensions. So now they're getting into the mix. Also, I discovered that the United Nations groundbreaking pact for the future that we've talked about already, guess who is totally behind that?
Who?
The World Council of Churches. The World Council of Churches saying that this is the best thing since sliced bread, and we desperately need that. Let me share this with you. This is from the World Council of Churches. It says, the World Council of Churches tells that the pact creates a collective commitment to tackle the most urgent challenges of our time, which are climate change, inequality, peace, and justice. It offers a pathway for the global community to work toward a more just and sustainable future. So can you see that churches, religious bodies, the United Nations political establishment, everyone is behind this global governance idea? And it sounds fantastic.
It sounds really what we all need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we can see everything coming together. And there's just so much more in connection with that. But that's where I'm going to leave that. And what we want to do is now we want to take a look at what is happening in the United Nations. What's been happening in the Middle East? Now, this is all coming. What we've talked about literally was only days before what we have right now.
That's right.
Okay. Well, now, we've talked about what's been happening in Lebanon in the last couple of weeks, you know, with pagers exploding, then walkie-talkies exploding, then, you know, hundreds of strikes by the Israelis on various targets that they deem to be terrorist targets, Hezbollah targets. Mm. And then we've got the United Nations taking place as this is all going on. And then you have the Prime Minister of Israel decides to go and address the United Nations and speak. And I listened to it, and I listened to his speech on Saturday night as I was traveling home.
Yeah.
I'm listening to his speech and I'm like, this is red flag.
Really?
This is red flag. What he was saying was just really just throwing down the gauntlet to Iran and anybody else that will mess with Israel. And basically what he said was this, and he's quoting from scripture. He's saying, when God put the nation of Israel in the land of Canaan, he offered them two options. He says, either you will have blessings if you follow me and my ways and follow that which is good, or you will experience curses. The blessings and the curses. You know, we're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. You know, Deuteronomy 28, you know, Moses talking to the children of Israel before his departure. And we've got, you know, the blessings and the curses elsewhere in scripture. And he said that this is a moment for the world to either choose the blessings of standing by Israel and peace, and Israel equaling peace, or standing with the terrorists like Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas.
By the way, Iran didn't sign that pact for the future.
Didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't. Syria didn't, and Russia, and there was a couple of others.
Okay, so a number of them didn't, which is interesting.
It
because
was only seven, I think, countries didn't.
And what's interesting, because you've got the world divided now. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get to that in a bit. So anyway, he's basically saying this is the choice that the world has now. Yeah. Either the world will choose peace and will choose to defend Israel, that considers itself, you know, the lone democracy there in the Middle East, or it will choose curses and evil. And he really laid it out. And he said, basically, that Israel will use full force to defend itself and to achieve its objectives and to ensure peace for its citizens. End of story. End of story. A few hours after that, we wake up to the leader of Hezbollah being taken out by this cluster bomb that literally put a 30-meter hole and destroyed buildings. Mm. You know, lots of people killed, not just this Hezbollah leader. Lots of people were killed, mm-hmm. you know, men, women, children were
so
killed
sad.
In this strike. Okay, so this is all taking place right now as we speak. And so then we have, of course, this missile strike that just happened a few hours ago.
I was just looking at an article before of a British Airways flight who got footage from the cockpit of those missiles.
No way.
Over. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you can watch it online. It's actually a little bit scary.
My stomach has just like taken a dive.
Yeah. It doesn't look like, if you don't know what it is, but it looks like fireworks at night. But it is an arc of destruction that it creates in the sky.
Wow. So here we have now Iran, literally in the last number of hours, sending over almost 200 missiles. Mm. Okay. That travel at ridiculous speeds. There's like about a 2,000 miles or somewhere around 3,000 kilometers.
Israel has an iron dome, though.
They do have an iron dome.
It did mostly. Right.
For the most part, it was able to knock out those missiles. But the problem is the shrapnel from the missiles is falling down. Mm. It's falling down, and some of them got through the iron dome. Mm. But these missiles traveled only took them 12 minutes to get from Iran to Israel.
Wow.
Okay. So this has just taken place.
Takes me longer to get home.
It does. 3,000 kilometers in 12 minutes. Okay.
It's amazing.
And so now the world is on edge. If the world wasn't on edge before, it certainly is on edge. And Israel has said that Iran has made a terrible mistake. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is going to happen now?
There'll be a reaction.
There'll be a retaliation. Mm-hmm. There'll be a retaliation. And do you think that Iran's just going to sit back and take that? They're going. This is this tit for tat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This tit for tat. And so this is
there's no end to that.
There is no end to it.
Someone's forgiving, or they and that's not going to happen probably.
You know, I share the story. I've shared it before when I was in Jericho in 2019, which is
where the wall's falling down.
Jericho, yeah, the new city of Jericho, yeah, where the old city did fall down in that area. We did go to the ruins of old Jericho. They're still there, some of the ruins. And I was in Jericho, and we had a Palestinian driver because it's in the West Bank. Jericho is in the West Bank, and so only a Palestinian can go in there by and large. So Israelis not really permitted to go in there. So we had a Palestinian driver that drove us in. And I remember sitting in this Jericho hotel where we were staying for the night. And it was, and he was there on his own. So I decided to go and sit with him, and he was having a bit of a drink. And, so I thought, look, this is my opportunity to sit down and just chat with him about the Middle East. He's a Palestinian.
Mm-hmm.
So I simply asked him after a bit of chitter chatter and talking about family and whatever else. I said, the bottom line is this, based on my understanding, and I'm a person like you are, I've got a family, like you've got a family, talk to me about his family. I said, you want only the best for your family, you want peace for your family. Is that mm-hmm. right? He mm-hmm. says, yes, that's true. I said, guess what? The people in Israel on the other side, they also want peace for their families. And I said to him, is it possible, do you think we will ever see the day when the Palestinians and the Israelis will be able to live side by side and even in the same community, potentially, as we have here in Australia? We have a multicultural, you know, community in Australia. Will they ever be able to live in peace with one another? And you know what his response to me was?
What?
Never. It will never happen. And, oh, I just could not believe it. I'm like, are you serious? Never? And he says, never, because we believe this is our land.
Mm.
They believe this is their land, and there is no coming together for the sake of peace.
Mm.
And so this tells me, Sharissa, that we are heading to a place where someone's going to have to step up and lead the world in this new compact of world peace. Because we're getting to the point where neither side wants to give in. It's only escalating more and more, and we're getting to the point where someone will have to step in. And mm-hmm. we know who the Bible says that will be.
We are so close to the end of time. Jesus is coming soon. Let's listen to Ron and Patty Valiant bring to us Let Not the Wise Man.
Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. Loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight.
That's Ron and Patty Valiant bring to us Let Not the Wise Man. And you're listening to the Looking Up program. We are halfway through the program.
I can't believe
we're just getting started.
We are.
But we do want to let you know we've had a number of people try to claim today's program's giveaway. And seems we have a little issue with our code word, so we're going to get that fixed, but we have your numbers and we'll be following through. So I won't give another plug for it now because I think we've almost got them all gone. But yes, Pastor Danny, you were talking about a lot.
That's a nice
Well, I was trying to remember where we were.
Well, we're just looking
at Israel and Iran.
Yeah, Israel, Hezbollah, Iran, everything that's going on there in the Middle East. And it's this real powder keg. And it's interesting, before I get to what the United Nations Secretary General shared at the opening of the General Assembly. This was September 24th. So this is well before the fireworks that we are seeing right now. And, this is even before we've got 1 million. Do you know we've got 1 million people in Lebanon displaced?
I did not know that.
1 million out of 5 million. That's 20% of the population displaced in a matter of 2 weeks.
Wow.
That's just phenomenal. We can't get
There's
our
so
heads
There's so much going
that.
On in the world, we just don't realize it.
Yeah, and we can't even get our heads around that. And by the way, the wars that we see on the television or on our news feeds, which are from, Europe, Ukraine or the Middle East, they are only two of the some 50-odd wars that are going on right now involving more than 90 nations, more so than at any other time since World War II. There's never been as much war going on since World War II.
Yeah.
So that was like 80-odd years ago. So let me share with you what Antonio Guterres had to say. And this is from the United Nations website. So this was
We've quoted this friend quite a bit today.
Yeah, we have. And he's interesting. He's Jesuit trained, by the way.
I did not know
which
that.
Which is really fascinating. But anyway, we'll leave that for now. The headline was UN's Guterres urges global solutions.
Here we go.
This is becoming a theme. Peace and safety or peace and security and global solutions. These two things we are hearing over and over again. UN's Guterres urges global solutions as uncertain world edges toward a powder keg.
Wow.
This is the headlines.
Yeah,
show you.
I can see it.
Can you see it?
I'm fact checking. It looks true.
Absolutely. United Nations. That's why I got to update my program for Coffs Harbour. I didn't have any of this stuff in Seddon because it wasn't happening then.
It's amazing.
The little headline here, or this little small item here, or I'm trying to think of the word. In a nutshell, that's it. The little nutshell at the top of the page is the world is locked in a purgatory of polarity. Man alive, imagine that language, purgatory of polarity. The world is polarized. It's polarized between East and West, between, Russia, China, Iran, who are up against, the United States and Europe and the West and so forth, this polarization. It says, the world is locked in a purgatory of polarity with a growing number of governments and others feeling entitled to a get-out-of-jail-free card, Secretary General Antonio Guterres told the United Nations General Assembly, which opened its annual high-level meeting on Tuesday. And this is, I'll share a little bit of what he shared. He said, our world is in a whirlwind. We are in an era of epic transformation, facing challenges unlike any we have ever seen, challenges that demand global solutions. There's that language again.
Yep.
He warned that geopolitical divisions are deepening, temperatures around the world are rising, wars are raging without any end in sight, and nuclear posturing and new weapons are casting a dark shadow. This is the language of the cry of peace and safety, Sharissa. So this is it.
That's it.
We've never seen anything like this before. He goes on. We are edging towards the unimaginable, a powder keg that risks engulfing the world.
Wow.
And he goes on and he talks about how we need global solutions. It's either one
it's
world
time to
or
look
none.
Up. It's time either one. To look up.
Absolutely, it's time to look up. And it's interesting that our friend Donald Trump. Our friend Donald Trump. Here we go. After the missiles were launched by Iran.
Yes.
This is This is what he wrote on his Truth Social. Well, this was the headline from The Independent. Trump claims Harris and Biden are leading world to brink of World War III after Iran launches missiles at Israel. He says, he called Kamala Harris a destabilizing, dangerous force in the Middle East.
Mm.
Can you believe that? This is the kind of rhetoric that is coming out. And so, you know, I won't go through and read it. You know, people can go and check out what he just really went on a rant, you know, as he tends to do sometimes.
Yep.
On his Truth Social, he really went on a rant and he just went on and on and on. And he talked about how, you know, under his administration, when he was president, there was no war in the Middle East. There was no war in Europe. There was harmony in Asia. There was no inflation. There was no Afghanistan.
It was basically heaven on earth.
It was heaven on earth. He says, instead of all that, we had peace. Mm. Now, he says, we have war, or the threat of war is raging everywhere. And the two incompetents running this country are leading us to the brink of World War III. You wouldn't trust Joe or Kamala to run a lemonade stand, let alone lead the free world. You got to love it.
Oh, he comes up with some...
a lemonade stand.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So anyway, so this is... And he says, you know, he says, if I win... He finished off by saying, if I win... We will have peace in the world again.
Wow.
If Kamala gets four more years, the world goes up in smoke.
Oh.
So if you want to tune in to Donald Trump and his good news hour, that's what you can expect. And really, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Kamala, whether it's Mr. Magoo.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, because Bible prophecy will be fulfilled.
That's right. That's right. And look, just looking here at the headline about what happened with Hurricane Helene, entire communities wiped off the map. As dogs are searching for bodies, over 150 people killed in that natural disaster.
That's exactly right. That's just
right. Shocking.
And I've got a headline here, and mm-hmm. this connects it with Bible prophecy. And this was from USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline was, Helene leaves biblical devastation as death toll climbs to 90. So that was a couple of days ago, or a day ago. Now it's over 150. So the United States is being barraged.
Oh, yeah. That I'm assuming that the biblical reference there is to the flood.
Yeah, to the biblical flood,
because the amount of rainfall that it takes to fill Lake Tahoe, which is so deep, it has a depth of 1,645 feet, and I don't know how to do this in kilometers, but basically...
Which is about 500-odd meters.
Olympic-sized swimming pools, okay. Anyway... It could fill, maybe this makes more sense to us in Australia, it could fill the Dallas Cowboys 80,000-seat stadium 51,000 times over. That's how much water was in this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
40 tons. Yeah.
Okay. And it says here that this was like a day or so ago when this article came out, more than 2 million people remained without power. This was late Sunday across the southeast, and now what are we on Wednesday? So, yeah, so, you know, and there's going to be an increase of this, because we know this from Matthew 24.
Yes.
You know, those labor pains. Jesus talked about, you know, wars and rumors of wars.
Mm.
He talked about, you know, there'd be famines, mm-hmm. there'd be pestilences, and there'd be earthquakes in various places. So there'd be both natural disasters, yes. and there'd be also wars and rumors of wars. I mean, and those labor pains would be intensifying, which we are seeing all this right now. We're talking about all this. This is all just happening right now.
That's right.
Do you want to share? You've got your Bible open.
Oh,
there.
I'm just looking because, you know, and Jesus talks about these things. We're all there, and we're talking about the birth pains, all of these things being signs. But then the very next verse, at least in the Gospel of Mark, says, Jesus says in Mark chapter 13, verse 9, after talking about the beginning of sorrows, it says in verse 9, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you'll be beaten in synagogues, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. Essentially, what's going to happen is somehow these calamities will be blamed on people who choose to be faithful to God and his law and to his word and not go along with the crowd.
So that's exactly right, because this cry of peace and safety, it's going to take in everyone. We've talked about, you know, the political world, the religious world, mm-hmm. everyone's going to be on this bandwagon, and there will be laws that will be put into place that will bring about, well, that will be seen, or the aim will be to bring about peace and safety. So that's where I believe, you know, the Bible's, when the Bible talks about, you know, this worship mandate.
Yes.
There will be a day that will be set aside around the world. It'll be the first day of the week. They'll be set aside, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Hindu, whether you're Buddhist, whether you're atheist, it matters not who you are, what you believe in. That will be the day that we all pause. And that will be the day that will be designated the day for peace and safety, bringing back unity, harmony. This will be this global day, this day for the common good,
mm-hmm.
a common day, common rest, for common peace, for common good, for common prosperity, for common, you fill in the blanks. And that will be a day that will be rolled out around the world. And the fuel for that, in particular, according to what Jesus said and what Revelation talks about, will be the signs and the wonders, the miracles that will give that movement fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just going to be political and economic and social and religious, but there's going to be the spiritual element. And as we've already talked in the past, every single world religion believes in spiritual forces.
Mm-hmm.
They all believe in spiritual forces. And so Satan will use signs, miracles, and wonders. And through this, he will deceive the world that this is the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a small group that will not go along with this.
It means that you really can't follow phenomena. You can't follow your senses, because if Satan is going to use signs and wonders to deceive people into following his agenda, the only safe course is to follow God's word, the Bible, because this doesn't change.
It doesn't.
I mean, AI is trying to change it in China. They're trying to rewrite the Bible there, but God's word does not change.
Amen. Amen. And it's interesting, you're there in Mark.
Yes.
And as I'm reading on, straight after what you just read,
yes,
in verse 10, it says, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it inserts the gospel being preached to all the nations, which is what's happening, which we talked about with Doug Batchelor, you know, in his series. But then if you want to keep reading, it talks about what will be happening in the context of the gospel being preached. So if you want to read from verse 11 to 13, it's really fascinating there.
Sure. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now a brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved.
So we can see what the world will be like, what God's people will be like. They will be persecuted.
Yeah.
And it will be within families.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will be with you. You will be given words to speak. You will be given faith. You will be given confidence, you know, holy boldness. Like they had in the book of Acts, they had holy boldness.
Yeah.
And they spoke the word of God with confidence and no fear.
Amen. And none of what was read there that I read, but what Jesus said, you know, being delivered up, people turning on you, your family members, none of that's nice to hear, but what a comfort to know that the Holy Spirit, that God himself is with us.
Amen.
That God will speak through us. And then that last part there, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. That word in my Bible has a number one next to the word endures, and it means bears patiently.
Mm.
He who bears patiently to the end shall be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Here is the patience of the saints.
I was going to say, that's a similar word to Revelation 14:12.
Yeah.
Here is the patience of the saints. So God will have his patient saints at the end of time, who will not bend the knee, and they will be faithful no matter what is taking place around them. And so as we see things taking place, and the world is getting to that point where the cry of peace and safety will lead to this pendulum swing, where the world will become very religious. Because when you've got missiles flying here, there and everywhere, when the economy is falling apart, and we're going to be looking at what's taking place there in the United States, this historic strike which is underway there in U.S. ports, and the global impact it can have on the supply chains, according to this headline that I'm looking at right now, which will be huge. All these things are telling us that, we're on the brink, and we know that God will be with us, but we need to make sure that we have God first and foremost in our lives.
Amen. I have more to say on this too when we come back. We're going to listen to Lindsay Taylor bring to us this beautiful hymn, one of my favorites, There Is a Fountain. And then we'll be back for the wrapping up of this amazing opportunity that we've had to share with you today. So stay with us.
Shine.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Faith looks up, sorry looks back, worry looks around.
And you're listening to the Looking Up program. This is the last home stretch of our program today. Time is flying. But we were just talking about, you know, the importance of looking to God in times that are going to be very tough. And Jesus, you know, talks about this being a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So none of us have experienced the kind of trial that will come upon the whole world that is still before us. But what we can take from this is that if we keep looking to Jesus, if we connect with him, if we lean upon him, then he has assured us he will carry us through. He says, he who endures to the end will be saved. So that means leaning on the Lord. And as you were talking before, Pastor Danny, my mind was reminded of someone I heard preach a powerful sermon on the book of Job. Pastor in Adelaide, Pastor Mark Wilson, if you're familiar with him. And I remember he brought out that the name Job means persecuted, and he brought out how really God's people at the end of time, who will be hated by all nations, you know, go through a Job experience, because even Job's family, his friends, turned upon him.
But in that time
of, you know, where Job went through this very difficult time, the time that he'd never experienced before, he decided that he would turn and trust in God no matter what. But it was a hard and it was a challenging time.
Amen. Yeah, he is famous for saying, you know, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Yes. You know, and so he trusted in God, you know, completely. And, you know, I thank God for another beautiful promise there. You know, you tapped into Mark 13. That's the signs of the times chapter there in the book of Mark. And in verse 19, you talked about this time of trouble such as never was. Mm-hmm. There Jesus says, for in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And then if you want to read verse 20.
And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake whom he chose, he shortened the days.
Mm-hmm. So for whose sake?
For the elect.
For the elect.
That's encouraging, isn't it? As crazy as the world is, God is still on his throne. He's still going.
God will be with his elect. The elect are those that have chosen to put their faith and trust in God. And, you know, Jesus in Matthew 24, there in that same, you know, in that same chapter in connection with the second coming, he says, even the very elect will be, you know, at risk of being deceived, as you pointed out earlier, if we don't stick with the Bible.
That's it.
So the word of God, because the deceptions at the end of time are going to come so quickly and they're going to be so convincing that if you trust in your senses, you will be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus made that very clear. And so we need to be in the word. We need to be in prayer and we need to be in the word. Amen. And we need to be sharing with people, preparing others, because the best way to be prepared yourself is to prepare others.
That's right.
So, yeah, Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Don't forget that. We need to be spending time in God's Word.
Because and on that note, I just make a point too. I was reflecting this week on Mark chapter 14, which talks about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know how the Bible records, it's such a sacred moment in the Bible, that time where Jesus is in the garden and the whole weight of the world, the sin of the world pressing upon him there. But he prays three times, you know, Father, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. But what stood out to me, he prays this three times. And then after the third time, and he comes back and he finds the disciples still sleeping, he says, and I'll just read to you verse 41 and 42. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Mm. What I took from that as I was reading it is Jesus came from that time of prayer with this calm, confident resolve that enabled him to know that he could just keep going forward. You know, like the cross is right before him, but he was so strengthened by communing with God, by that time of prayer, that he knows what the program is. He knows what's ahead, but he's not afraid.
He was ready. He was ready to face the challenge.
Because he had been in prayer.
And I love what he said. Rise, let us be going.
Yes.
You know, let's move forward. Yep. Let's move forward. So God's people at the end of time, those that are trusting in Jesus, those that have their faith built on the foundation, Jesus Christ, who is the rock, they will not be running.
Yes.
They will not be hiding, but instead they will be ready to be used by God as his witnesses, as we read earlier in Mark 13, filled with the Holy Spirit, they will be ready to give an account. They'll be ready to give their testimony for Jesus. They'll be ready to stand for the truth. They'll be ready to point people to Christ. And there's going to be many, Sharissa, all around the world that through this holy testimony, this bold testimony that God's people will share at the end of time, that will make their stand with God, with his truth, and with the people of God.
Amen.
And will stand on his side. So when the voice is heard, there's going to be two voices. One's going to be the cry for peace and safety. And one's going to be, come into Babylon. And the other voice will be, come out of Babylon, my people.
Mm.
And God's people will be sharing that message, inviting people to come out of this confused, corrupt, state that will be destroyed, and instead enter into the kingdom of God, enter into the new Jerusalem, follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Mm. There's going to be two groups. Well, my friend, and we are now getting to back to the United States. And isn't it interesting how so much is happening in the United States?
Oh,
you know, the hurricane that we've talked about, and now we're going to talk about.
And there's thousands of shops closing. People go shop and stores going, whole chains going bankrupt.
Absolutely. Yeah, so there's just so much going on there in the United States, not to mention the political turmoil that they are in right now. But there is this massive dock worker strike that is on right now. It's just started, literally, just started in the last number of hours. And I want to read to you this headline from CNBC. So this just came to me today, and the headline is, a historic strike is underway at U.S. ports, and the impact on global supply chains could be huge.
Wow.
That's the headline. It says here, a massive dock worker strike at seaports on the U.S. East and Gulf Coasts is expected to wreak havoc on global supply chains and the economy.
Wow.
What was one of those shocks? It was in connection with goods and services and the supply of goods and services. Remember that? You know, one of those events.
Yes.
That could potentially trigger this, you know, this global world summit impact coming to fruition.
Wow.
You know, this new world order that we need to be rolled out right now coming into place. And so, you know, it says here, it's really crunch time now. So many things are at stake. And it goes on and talks about how these workers, they are striking for more pay and the threat of automation on their jobs. Have you heard of AI lately?
Oh, yeah.
and automation taking people's jobs. And so they are striking, and who knows where this is going to go. And if this goes on for a day or two, yeah, we'll be able to handle it. But if it goes on and on and on, for weeks and potentially months, this could be absolutely crippling, especially in the lead up to Christmas, Sharissa. Just as well, I can't stand Christmas shopping. So it's not going to impact me at all. But it will impact me when I want to go buy my fruits and my veggies. And I want to buy my mangoes and so on and so forth. Well, mangoes are grown here in Australia. We should be right. But it's interesting. It says here, ocean supply chains have already been hit hard this year by conflict in the Red Sea, a lengthy drought affecting the Panama Canal, and the Baltimore Bridge collapse. You remember all that? That's all happened this year.
I didn't. It feels like a long time ago, but.
So anyway, now why I share this is because more than a century ago, Ellen White was shown by God through visions and dreams that the unions at the end of time will be creating such havoc such as we cannot even begin to imagine.
Oh, what did she say?
Today.
How long ago did she write this?
I'll get to that in just a moment. But I went to the website, the Ellen White website, where people can go, and I read a whole bunch of statements from Ellen White prepared by the Department of Public Affairs and Religious Liberties. All right? And so these statements were written by Ellen White between 1890 and 1907. All right? So let me just share with you one statement.
Sure.
Because this is about all we've got time and stomach for today. She writes, this was written in 1903. The trade unions will be one of the agencies that will bring upon this earth a time of trouble such as has not been since the world began.
Mm.
That sounds like Daniel 12:4, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A time of trouble such as the world has never seen. That sounds like the words of Jesus, a time of tribulation such as has not been. We've just read it. For in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. That's Mark chapter 13 and verse 19. Mm-hmm. So she goes on and she talks about it. I won't take the time to read all these statements. There's many of them. I'd encourage people to do their own research. I mean, she talks about this is a time when we start seeing these things to be seriously considering moving out in the country. That's what she shares. A number of these statements are found in that book, that little compilation, Country Living.
Oh, yeah.
So this is what she says as well in another statement. This was written in 1904.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote, the trade unions will be the cause of the most terrible violence that has ever been seen among human beings. This is sober language.
That is.
This is very sober language.
1904, you said?
1904. That was 1904. So all these statements are from about 1890.
120 years ago.
1890 to 1907, when the union movement was just taking place. Now, guess what? Hold on to your seat, my friend. Check this out. We've only got 4 minutes left. Let me share with you why this is significant. For the first time at the Republican Convention, guess what? We had the president of the Teamsters Union.
Yeah, I listened to that. I have no idea what it was
about. The president of the Teamsters Union, which is the largest union in the United States of America, with 1.3 million members, founded in 1903. Hello, does that date seem familiar? We just read a statement from, it says here, why a union president crossed partisan lines for a starring role at Trump's RNC, Republican National Convention.
Wow.
And it wasn't just the Republicans. It was also Joe Biden. Guess what? Last year, Joe Biden became the first sitting U.S. president to join a picket line. The first one.
Mm.
And he went there to join this auto workers union gathering, and he said, you deserve a raise. You deserve better than what you already have. This is a sitting U.S. president for the first time in U.S. history goes to the picket line and he protests with the workers. What does this tell us? This tells us that the writing's on the wall.
Amazing.
The writing's on the wall. And so that was that. Then I decided, let me have a look. Did the Democrats, get into bed with the unions? And hello, they did as well. At their Republican convention, at their Democratic convention, I should say, which followed the Republican convention, you have union leaders speak at 2024 Democratic National Convention. Democrats want to show voters that they're with workers, drawing on labor union support for the opening night of the convention. They put them on the opening night, prime time. Republicans, Democrats, the president turns up. This is all happening. And our Teamsters, the largest union in the United States of America, that the person, their CEO, you could say, spoke at the Republican convention, they didn't want to endorse any of the candidates.
Mm.
They didn't want to endorse any of the candidates. They said, we're going to wait and see who wins and how they treat our workers, and then we will take certain action if we need to. We're not going to put our hat. Well, we're not going to go voting for anyone. We're going to sit on the fence and we're just going to watch. So this is another thing saying, hey, you're going to need it.
So if they don't get what they want.
Exactly. Which is what's happening right now. Yeah. This is not just.
Yeah, I saw the news. Biden's begging them to raise the wages so that everyone can go back to work. And
this is not just by chance that they're doing it a month before the election.
Yeah. And this is people are stocking up on groceries.
Absolutely. This is huge. This is huge. So the Teamsters are America's largest, most diverse union in 1903. They started. Wow. So that's when Ellen White is writing those statements in the early 1900s.
That is amazing.
Saying this is going to take place. And she's telling God's people have no place with the union movement. She says we ought not to be joining these union movements. And she also talks about, you know, these huge monopolies being formed. And that will also lead to this time of trouble such as the world is not seeing. So all these things she wrote about, we are literally seeing right now.
That is just
this
incredible.
Is telling us Jesus is coming soon.
Amen. Well, Keith and Kristen Getty are going to bring to us the beautiful hymn, Softly and Tenderly, and then we'll wrap up with some final summative comments on our time together today. So may you be blessed by this beautiful song.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Shepherd for you and for me.
calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Keith and Kristen Getty and their friends bringing to us this beautiful hymn, Softly and Tenderly. And this brings us to the end.
I can't believe it.
We were just getting started.
We were just getting started.
But we have come to the end of the program, and it's time to wrap it up with some conclusive thoughts.
Okay, some conclusive thoughts. We have all this mayhem going on in the world, all this uncertainty, but we praise the Lord for the certainty that we have. And, you know, I thank God that we can put our faith and trust in Him. And regardless of what's going on in America or anywhere else in the world, and as I was just, you know, reading that article that you referred to with Biden pleading with the unions to get back to work and, you know, pleading with these companies, these shipping companies that have been making these massive profits and not sharing them with the workers to you know, get on the right page and to share their profits with these workers that are asking for this huge pay increase, and they believe that it's only fair. Regardless of where all that goes, whether this thing just spirals more and more out of control or not, only time will tell, and God knows the end from the beginning. But one thing we do know, and that is we can put our faith and trust in God and His word.
Amen.
Because the things that we have been taking a look at, the things that we can all see taking place, is telling us that we're on the path. Jesus is coming soon.
That's right.
So I just want to share these words here from the book of Romans this time. Mm-hmm. The book of Romans, chapter 13. And the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Rome 2,000 years ago, but I believe his words are very timely for us today in 2024. And in verse 11 of Romans 13, he writes these words. He says, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed."
Amen.
"The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Mm. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts."
Amen.
And I love this passage because this passage points us to what God's plan is for us as His people, as His ambassadors. You know, we're not of the night. You know, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, speaking of the second coming. Jesus is about to return, and now it's high time for us to awake out of our slumber, out of our Laodicean sleep, and to focus on the things that have preceded these words, which are about, you know, loving God, loving your neighbor, and the best way to love your neighbor is to point them to Jesus.
Amen.
To invite them to be part of His kingdom. And so I just want to connect that scripture with Mark chapter 13. We've spent a bit of time there today. And in Mark 13, verse 26 and 27, if you'd like to read those words, Mark 13, verse 26 and 27.
"Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then He will send His angels and gather together His elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven."
Isn't that a beautiful promise?
Yes. No one's going to be missed out.
No one's going to be missed out. So as we,
coming for you.
Absolutely. And as we prepare for the coming of Jesus, we know that He will come and He will gather together His elect. You know, those that have put their faith and trust in Him in earth's darkest hour, they have trusted in Christ more than ever, regardless of the consequences, regardless that every earthly support has been taken away from them. They have had the heavenly support of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, their heavenly Father who loves them with an everlasting love, and that has been enough. They have endured to the end. They have been the patient saints, and they are now seeing Jesus face to face.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Danny. That's a beautiful way for us to land the plane today. And just wondering, would you mind closing in prayer for our listeners?
Sure, love to. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for the blessings that we have in your word. We thank you for the sure word of prophecy. Once again, Lord, we can see Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes, and we thank you that we have the Prince of Peace in our midst, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we do not need to be afraid. We thank you that we know where things are heading, and we know that you are with us, for you have promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So may we put our faith and trust in you. May we spend more time in your word. May we spend more time on our knees, and may we spend more time sharing with those around us and encouraging them to look up, because our redemption is drawing near, and inviting them also to be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So bless our listeners, Lord, one and all, until we meet again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're looking forward to your company this time again next week. Who knows what we're going to be talking about this
only
time
God
next
knows.
Week.
Only God knows.
Only God knows. But we will definitely have lots to look forward to. So stay with us now, because there's the live Drive Time show coming to you from Adelaide, and that's going to be excellent as well. But we just really encourage you, feel free to share this station with your friends. Tell them to tune in on a Wednesday afternoon, or any afternoon really, because there's lots of good things happening here on Faith FM. And as we wrap up today, we just want to remind you that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. So no matter what, keep looking up, friends, and may God bless you.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
I've heard of a land on a faraway strand, 'tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we know.